We heard in the gospel the same message as the epistle. Doesn't always work out that way in our lectionary, but it did this Sunday. And that is, in the epistle we hear Paul say, and this is his second letter to the Corinthians. If you know anything about the Corinthian community, they were Paul's troublemakers. Paul had many communities he ministered to and traveled to throughout his journeys. There was the church in Philippi, which was his favorite. They never caused him any trouble. They always took care of him, and he took care of them. There were other churches in the middle of the spectrum, but the far end of the other end of the spectrum was the church in Corinth, which if you read 1 Corinthians, and then especially 2 Corinthians, you see Paul is really struggling with this community. In the Corinthian community, they were challenging Paul's authority. There were certain leaders that had come to the church in Paul's absence between his second and third journey, and had risen up in the community and had started to tell the community that Paul's not really an apostle. He doesn't really know what he's talking about. He really doesn't have the authority he claims from Jerusalem. He's never even been there. Listen to us instead. And so the great tragedy is that this community, of course, this is before fax machines and email. So nobody could check and call Jerusalem and call Peter and John and James, the bishop there, and say, "Hey, this Paul, is he teaching the same thing that you're teaching there?" If they were able to call, they would have found out, yes, we have given him the right hand of fellowship. Do whatever he tells you. But instead, without fax machines and emails, how are they going to check, what's going on in the authorities in Jerusalem all the way over, halfway across the Mediterranean Sea in Corinth, in Greece? And so it was Paul's words against these individuals, the community, that were rising up. And as you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, you can see that Paul's heart is torn. Here he had devoted his life, his energy, to planting this church. And then the church itself starts to turn on him. And they begin to accuse him of being a deceiver, of being not really concerned about their welfare, of not really teaching them what is the true faith. And so you hear in the epistle, Paul says this. He says, "We apostles are deceivers," they say. Right? He says, "But we do not deceive. We are mocked, but in response, we bless." And this is what we hear in the gospel reading. Jesus says, this is in Luke's gospel, "Be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful." Now that's a pretty high calling. And so he gives a description of what does this mean. He says, look, the wicked, the pagans out there, Luke's gospel called the sinners, the pagans, the non-Jews. Remember, this is in the context before the resurrection. So there's the Jews and the non-Jews. He says, look, and Jesus is speaking to these Jewish crowds, and he says, if you only love those who love you, then how are you any different from one of those pagans out there? If you are only merciful to those who are merciful to you, then how are you any different than a pagan? You Jews who have received the law from Moses, the Word of God, and you don't keep it. You've received the law, and it's as if you're no different than a pagan. Oh, sure, you're circumcised. Oh, yes, you keep kosher and you eat your gefilte fish nicely. But are you any different in the end, besides these outward showings, circumcision and kosher laws and things, are you really in your heart, in your life, in your behavior, any different than a pagan who has not received the law, the Word of God? This is Jesus talking to the Jews. And he says, love those who hate you. Why? Bless those who curse you. Why would I want to do that? He says, because you need to be children of your Heavenly Father. In Hebrew, there's an idiom, to be a son of, a child of. It means to be a follower, an imitator of. So you often hear this in the gospel. Children, of course, imitate their parents, grow up in the image and likeness and actions and way of behavior of their parents, for good or bad. That's why we have to be careful as parents. And so we need to grow up in the image and likeness of our Heavenly Father. God is our Father. He has created us in His image and likeness. We are His children. And therefore, we must learn to behave like Him. And so Jesus comes. This is God incarnate, the Son of God, here on earth, the new Adam, to show us what Adam was supposed to be like, to show us what we are really to be like. And we see in Jesus, when he is cursed, He blesses. When He is mocked, He forgives. And we are called to do the same. And so He says, when you are cursed, bless. Pray. Love your enemies. Because this is what your Heavenly Father does. Really? Does God love sinners and wicked pagans? God loves all of His children. He has created us in His image and likeness. Now, you all know who have children or who are from large families. You all know how these things go. Sometimes you can have a large family and some of the children don't love their parents. Even though those children have been given the same food, lodging, care, love as the other children, sometimes you've got a situation where a child grows up and they're estranged from their parents, they reject their parents, they don't want to be around their parents, they hate their parents. And so it's the same with humanity. God has created us all as His children, and some love Him in response to all that they have been given, and some receive all of these things and still hate Him. We know how this works. But you have been blessed. You have been blessed with the grace of the all-holy Spirit. We have been baptized into Christ. Why? Because you had loving parents. You had loving parents and a loving family from which you received the faith. Some of you maybe didn't receive the faith from your parents, but received it by a special grace of God, sometimes in very difficult situations, to become a member of the church. Even to become a member here at St. Elias. There are some here who have some very complex stories, long, complicated journeys to get to here this Sunday. What an incredible grace they have received. But what are we doing with the grace, the gift God has given us? Through our parents, through our family, our culture, others around us who have given us this great faith, have been merciful to us as God has been merciful. What are we doing with it? Are we sharing it? Jesus says, love your neighbor, but also love your enemy. Love those who do evil to you. And then you will be like your Heavenly Father. Because God, as He says in other places, God sends His rain upon the wicked and the righteous. God sends His sunlight to shine upon the righteous and upon the wicked. And so we must also give what we've been given. That is, we have the ability to pray and do good and to love. And so we must do good and pray and love for those who are wicked and those who are righteous, those who hate us and those who love us. And then and only then will we be like God. Then we will be growing up in His image and likeness. Now, why would we want to do such a thing? Why would we want to love those who hate us? Well, if nothing else, because God does. Why should we care for those who hate us? Well, if nothing else, because God does. However, it's through our love of those who hate us that conversion takes place. When you are wronged, Jesus says, turn the other cheek. Don't fight back. If someone insults you, you say, may God bless you. If someone is trying to do something behind the scenes, evil, then you pray for that person. You pray for that person. That God will have mercy on them and bring them to where you are. And so we need to pray for our enemies. We need to love our enemies. Because it's through our love and our gift of everything we have to those who are in opposition to us and in opposition to God, that they will experience God's love. And when they experience God's love through you, then we will be walking in the ways of God. And once they experience that love, then they want to become children of the Heavenly Father. Then they want to, those estranged children who are scattered out there all over San Jose, then they want to come into the community of faith, into the family of God. And so we are, as Jesus says in other places, we are His hands, His feet. Sometimes people say, where is the body of Jesus? He ascended into the clouds. Where is He? Look in the mirror. We have received the Holy Spirit so that the Word of God might dwell in us. We have been baptized into Jesus Christ. We have, as Paul says in Galatians, put on Christ like a garment. And therefore we are what Jesus was to the Jews in the first century. What Jesus was in the first century in Palestine, we are called to be and have the power to be, and in essence are, here in Los Gatos, in the workplace, in the neighborhood, in our families. When someone insults you, bless them. When someone does wrong to you, pray for them. And then you will be like your Heavenly Father. And we may glorify Him as eternal Son, as all holy, good, and life-giving Spirit, both now and ever, and into age of ages. Amen.